We have been talking about the importance of our time with God and the power that it gives us. So just as a way of review, on January 14th, we talked about how reading the Bible and using the devotional book, those things aren't the point, but they're the means to the relationship with God. On the 21st, we talked about seeing and how important it is to see with God's eyes, because we see what we're looking for and we become and follow what we're looking at. And then on the 28th, we talked about some skills that we need to develop in order to see what God is doing and see what God wants us to do. And we talked about the eye of the hunter, the finger of the photographer, the mind of the philosopher, the feet of the toddler. And those messages, if you weren't here, those messages are on the website, but they're also on CDs out here if you want to catch up. Today, we want to talk about fighting for our time with God, that it's worth doing everything we can to fight for and to relish our time with God. Because sometimes you just have to keep trudging. Not every daily time with God will be a mountaintop. Anybody want to say amen? In fact, most of your daily times with God will not be a mountaintop. They will be times when you spend time with God, you may see something powerful, you may see something minor, you may walk away from your quiet time thinking, I didn't seem to get anything. And so sometimes we might get discouraged. You know, this is about the time of year, how many of you go to a gym? Okay, this is about the time of year when it's a lot easier to get the machines and the weights and the treadmills, isn't it? Because people make all kinds of New Year's resolutions that they're going to get fit, and after about 4 to 6 weeks, it gets hard and it gets boring and people begin to tail off. Sometimes you just have to keep trudging. A pastor friend of mine in Alaska, I was talking to him, and I said, boy, it really must be hard in December, you know, when it's the winter solstice and the days are so short and there's hardly any light up there. And he said, no, not really. He says, what's hard is about the first part of February, because it's been going on for so long. It's been so cold and it's been so dark, and we can handle it when it first starts, but after a while it just gets to you until suicide rate goes up about February, because it's hard. Sometimes you just have to keep trudging on when it's hard. And that's what I want to talk about today. In our quiet times, when we're focusing on spending time with God, sometimes you just have to keep doing it. Sometimes when it's not exciting, sometimes when it's hard, sometimes when you're weary, you just have to keep trudging. Trudging is kind of an odd word. And I worked hard to find just the right word. And I think it's trudge. Because to trudge is to walk or march steadily and often laboriously. It's not a run. It's not a sprint. It's not even a walk. It's just putting one foot in front of the other, continuing to do it, whether you like it or not, whether you feel like you're getting anything out of it or not. Now, understand, there will be times of dancing, right? There will be times when it is exciting. There will be times when you spend time with God and you may just weep because of his presence. Or you'll see a Bible verse, or you'll read something in your devotional book and it'll jump out at you and you feel like your soul has just been fed in a powerful way. There will be those moments, but only if you keep trudging. Because if you want those moments every day, you're not going to get them. But if you keep trudging, they will come. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 to 10 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Sometimes you have to keep trudging, and you can do it as as you see the possibilities of what's ahead. So let's talk about the scripture in context of our spending time with God. And spending time with God, if you have not gotten this book, it's back there. You can start right where we are. It's about slowing down to read one chapter a day. It's about reading a devotional book. And it's about allowing God to speak to you. So that's what we're talking about. Number one, we reap what we sow. We reap what we sow. The first reason why we need to fight for our time with God is because we're going to reap what we sow. Verse 6 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap." So as we're talking about our time with God, as we sow into that, as we spend time with God, we're going to reap the life that he will provide for us. Now, there's some the bullet points there. We reap what we sow. The first bullet point is we reap what we sow. Our culture tells us you can sow one crop and reap a different one. But the truth is you reap what you sow. If you sow anger, you will receive anger. If you sow kindness, you will receive kindness. If you sow stupidity, you probably won't live long. We reap what we sow. You cannot change the harvest. If you plant an acorn, what are you going to get? A sycamore tree, right? No, you're going to get an oak tree. And I don't care how much you want some other kind of tree, if you plant an acorn, the only thing that's going to grow from that is an oak tree. So the reality check is what you are sowing in your time now is what you will reap. What you are spending your time on with God is what you will reap. So as you take time with that chapter of the Bible every day, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Spending time with God, you will reap the life that he wants to give to you. Proverbs chapter 22, the first part of the verse, "Whoever sows injustice will also reap calamity." And then Job chapter 4, "Those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same." We reap what we sow. The next bullet point is that we reap later than we sow. We reap later than we sow. And this is what the struggle is, because in our human self, we would like to be able to spend time with God and then immediately be mature. You know, and every day see some kind of powerful, great crop. But if you plant an acorn, do you get an oak tree tomorrow? Next month? Next year? I don't know how long it takes them to grow into these great big trees, but you reap later than you sow. And that's why people sometimes get discouraged. You have to keep going. Someone has said, "Today's mighty oak is just yesterday's nut that held its ground." That gives hope for some of you. We reap what we sow. We reap later than we sow. We reap greater than we sow. That's the next bullet point. We reap greater than we sow. You plant that acorn, and when it grows, as it grows to maturity, you get all kinds of acorns, don't you? Not just one. You get a lot. We reap greater than we sow. Rick Warren has said, "When God wants to make a mushroom, he does it overnight. But when he wants to make a giant oak, he takes 100 years. Great souls are grown through struggles and storms and seasons of suffering. Be patient with the process. Keep trudging." Hosea chapter 8, verse 7 says, "For they sow the wind and they reap the whirlwind." You reap greater than you sow. And then 2 Corinthians 9, 6. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. If you are sincerely spending time with God, I can guarantee you that your relationship will grow. But it grows incrementally. You know, if you go out and that you see the sprout of the acorn, and it's just a little tiny twig, and you stand there and watch it, waiting to see it grow, what's going to happen? Be waiting a long time. And people come along going, "What are you doing?" "I'm watching this grow." And they'll walk away. "Idiot, that stupid person. What are they doing?" Because you can't see it grow. And that's often what happens. Other people will probably see you growing closer to God and becoming more like Jesus quicker than you do, because it's incremental. The next reason to fight for and relish a daily time with God is that we reap eternal life when we do. We reap eternal life. Excuse me. When we persist in our daily appointment with God, the crop that we reap is life, real, abundant, and meaningful life. Galatians chapter 6, verse 8, for the one who sows to his own flesh, excuse me, David, you got me all choked up. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. We're sowing one of two ways. If you're not spending time with God, you're doing something with your time. And however we're spending our time, we're going to be reaping it. Now, if you spend time with God, it's going to lead to this, he says, sowing to the Spirit. It's going to lead to that eternal life. When he says eternal life, he's not talking about when you die. He's talking about right now. That eternal life right now that begins, that spiritual life in Christ. And it will grow and grow and grow. You will reap from the Spirit eternal life. But if you're not spending time with God and you're doing your own thing, that's what sowing to the flesh is, that selfish spirit. And whatever you're doing, that's what you're all also going to reap. We reap what we sow later than we sow, greater than we sow. So in Galatians chapter 5, he talks about the kind of harvest that this eternal life is. He gives us the harvest, and then he gives us how we're supposed to be sowing. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Anybody want love in your life? Joy? Sound good? Peace? Patience? Kindness? Goodness? Faithfulness? Gentleness? Self-control? The Spirit, remember 2 Timothy? Against such things there is no law. And how do we do that? Verse 24. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. They're not sowing to the flesh, but rather they're sowing to the Spirit. I got a phrase from John Maxwell some 25, 30 years ago that I repeated so often to my kids that when I would say it, they would gag. And I said it often. And it goes like this: pay now, play later. And what he meant by that is you do the hard things now so that you can enjoy the fruit of it later. He says, otherwise, if you play now, you will pay later, and you will pay a great deal. That's what he's talking about. Number three, the third reason is that we weep. Yes, sometimes we do. We reap if we do not give up. We reap if we do not give up. One of the things that I've come to appreciate are the guys that I went to college with that are in the ministry that have been faithful. You know, when I was in college, we had some superstars. You know, guys that just could preach and gals that could parse Greek. And they were just kind of superstars. And everybody looked at them going, they are going to go far. They are going to be the greatest pastors in the Church of God. And then there were some that you looked at and you wondered if they would ever be able to make it to the next day. You know, they just didn't seem to have it together. And then there's a whole bunch of people in the middle. They're just regular people. And now, 35 years later, the ones I appreciate, some of the superstars became superstars. Most of them flamed out. A few of them are productive. But those in the middle that went into ministry and just kept doing ministry day after day, you'll never hear their name on television or the radio. You'll never see them write a book. But they just keep doing it. They just keep putting one foot in front of the other, changing lives, ministering to people. Those are the ones that now I appreciate the most, because they're making a difference, because they just refuse to give up. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. The NIV states a little bit different. It says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time. in due season or at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. See, the big struggle is giving up. Not seeing enough to encourage you. Not experiencing enough to feel like it's worthwhile. You know, you look at that, we need acorns. It doesn't grow any faster. And sometimes you just want to give up because it's so slow. But he says, in due time, at the proper time. The problem is, our idea of the proper time and God's idea of the proper time are often different. We're thinking microwave, and God's thinking crock pot. Right? At the proper time, if we don't give up. And one of the reasons some people get discouraged with Christianity is because they gave up before they got the benefit. They gave up before they experienced this real abundant life. They just gave up. So we only reap if we refuse to give up. Just putting one foot in front of the other, continuing to go. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Listen to these verses and see if it doesn't tell us. Just keep trudging. Just keep trudging. Just keep trudging. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Keep trudging. Psalm 126:5, those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy if you just keep trudging. Hebrews 12:3, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Just keep trudging. I saw an article about a young man named John Henry Kruger from McMurray. He's right down the road, who's in the Olympics as a speed skater. Says in the article, it says he took his first steps on the Mount Lebanon ice rink. He skated there and took the tot prep classes, just like every other little guy. John Henry states, we weren't good at figure skating or hockey, and somebody from the local Pittsburgh speed skating team saw my brother and invited us to skate with the team. Getting to the Olympics has required hard work and sacrifice. Often he would rise at 4:30 a.m., for morning skates at different rinks because ice time was sparse during his youth. Now, I don't know about you. I had trouble getting my teenagers up at about 7. 4:30, up, skating. By the time he was 16, he moved to Salt Lake City to train and compete. For 2 years, he lived in Korea. He currently trains in the Netherlands. Today, he trains at least 4 hours a day. Skating, and then sometimes he adds cycling to his workout mix. And while he says he could eat almost anything when he was 16, he does follow a diet that enhances his performance now. And here's what he says about all of this. If you want it, and you are willing to work hard at it, and your family gets behind you, it can be done. But family has to be behind you. Make sure you love it. The sport is something one can't do halfway. It requires a lot of sacrifice. You really have to have your heart in it. Everybody wants to be the best, and as long as you're making sure that that's what you are doing, that's what you want to do, you can be the best. Did you hear what he said? He didn't get to the Olympics by skating every Saturday. He got to the Olympics by sacrifice, and he just kept trudging, just kept trudging, just kept trudging. Now, I don't know if any of you noticed him skating.
I know him. I saw him on my TV.
Did you? Well, in his first, he's doing three different events. The first event, he was called for impeding, and he got kicked out. He's the fastest skater in the United States, but he's going to keep trudging. He's got two more events. I'm going to keep trudging. Number four, the fourth reason that we need to fight for and relish our daily time with God is we reap when we serve. We reap when we serve. You see, this is what it comes down to in life is relationship with God, relationship with other people. And in your in your journal, every day there's a place for actions to take. And part of those actions is how we treat other people. How am I going to respond to God and how am I going to treat other people? Verse 10 says, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those who are of the household of faith. Why is it so important to keep having that time with God and keep trudging and don't give up? Because there will come a day when you have an opportunity to make a difference in the life of someone you love. And if you are not spending time with God, allowing him to transform you into the person he wants you to be and living that eternal life, you won't be ready. And you won't be able to sow into that child's life or that sibling's life or somebody at work. You will not be ready because your heart is not being transformed by God. Spending time with God is sowing to God so that we reap becoming like Jesus. Quick video, and then we'll close. What are you willing to do for the ones you love? See, we spend time physically making sure they're taken care of. We make sure they get the education that they need. We try to invest in them emotionally, but if we are not spending time with God so that he's transforming us, we will not be ready or able, nor will we model what the people in our lives need to see. Commitment is everything. And that's what the scripture is talking about. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Maybe your time with God is doing really well, and you're enjoying it, and you're trudging on, and you are, whether you're using what I've recommended or you're using something else, you are faithful spending time with God and giving him access to you. Celebrate. Be joyful, because you will reap what you're sowing. Maybe you've hit a time after 6 weeks and your daily time with God is not living up to what you had hoped for. Keep going. It's worth it. Because if you will trudge on, you will reap what you sow. Maybe you've not really got going with a daily quiet time with God. And I would ask you, where are you spending that time? Because this is designed to start with 15 minutes and try to work up to half an hour with God. So where's that half hour going? Here's what I know, is there's, regardless of what it is, that extra 15 minutes of sleep you will not remember in a year. That extra, American Idol program that you watched, you won't remember in a year. Reading the newspaper, you won't remember in a year. But if you are spending time with God, if you'll carve that out, you will remember, because you will be reaping as God wants you to reap. Would you bow your heads? And would you make a commitment to keep trudging, to keep going, spending time with God, sowing into that spiritual life, whether it's good or whether it's tough, or whether you're tired or whether you're getting anything out of it, or whether you're experiencing great joy? Would you commit just to keep doing it, keep putting one foot in front of the other every day, and allow God to do his work? In this moment of quiet, would you say yes and make that commitment to God? Lord, we thank you that you have invited us to spend time with you, the God of the universe that loves us more than we can imagine. Thank you. Thank you that you have given us the promise that you'll be there, whether we feel it or not, and that we will reap that life filled with the fruit of the Spirit as we spend time with you. God, I pray that you've heard the prayers that have gone up, and I pray that you would pull out all the resources of heaven to help each one of us do what will make a difference so that we can make a difference in this world. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. On the